Hello and welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast detailing IVF in real time and shining a light on the experience of infertility.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things fertility, sharing our stories, the highs and the lows, and everything in between.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? How are you, Sian?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good.
Yeah.
I am good.
Shall I just let people know? I'll just quickly. Yeah.
Let's insert a big fat trigger warning here.
Yeah. And just to say, anybody who cannot listen to this for whatever reason, please just turn it off. Like, we've got plenty of other episodes to listen to.
Because
drum roll,
we are going to be discussing
a what?
A positive test.
Yay!
Oh my god.
What a relief.
Yeah. Oh god, it's been a ride, guys. We've had our 2-week wait is over, and we've been a bit quiet because we did do a test a little bit early, actually. Naughty, but we did it not too early, 9 days post transfer we thought we'd start testing from, and we are so lucky, guys. We got our first ever positive test, so
woo-hoo!
Yes, this is big,
huge.
Yeah.
Can I ask why? Because there'll be people listening going, why the hell did you test early?
I know, because I'm naughty. No, because our clinic told us 11 days post transfer, but actually a lot of other clinics say 9 days is when the first point where you might get a result. So we were like, well, part of us is like, why drag it out? Let's just do it. Didn't want to do it too early when it's like, is it, isn't it, you know? And I was coaching Carl to expect maybe a faint line, because it's not always clear cut. But, and I was showing him pictures online of, like, you know, this is a faint line. He'd never really seen a positive, well, I'd never seen one for ourselves, but he'd never really seen a pregnancy test.
But also a faint line can actually,
it's still a line.
It's a positive.
It's still, and I was saying to him, even if it's faint, that's still good. It's still a positive. And he was like, right, okay. And then, yeah, we did it. We were so braced for a negative. We went and kind of picked it up. Well, I picked it up after. We set a timer, walked away. Didn't stare at it like last time, like, but then walked back over, was so braced for it to be negative again. You know, anyone who's done the IVF 2-week wait will know, you pick up that test, like, hands shaking, literally, like, absolutely shaking. Saw two big fat lines, like, really clear, and turned around, burst into tears, showed Carl, he burst into tears. Yeah.
And so happy for you, all of us are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it's a weird thing to talk about, isn't it? Because now I'm on the other side.
Yes.
And we've struggled with this, haven't we? And we've actually just started the record again.
We actually had to, because we had to. Listened back and we sounded like it was a funeral.
It's really, really hard to strike a balance, because it's good news, but obviously it's not going to land good for everybody. It's just a weird thing. And but I was like, Sian, we're sounding like bad news.
I know. And also, it's like, it shouldn't be, because people listening will probably, look, it's not always about people listening, but people listening, you're never going to please everybody, are you? And some
people are
going to listen and go, bloody hell, at least cheer up about it.
Yeah, and other people will be like, stop being so happy. So, like, how happy do you be?
So we tried being about 3 out of 10 happy.
Then we were like, this is quite depressing.
Yeah, it was really depressing.
Yeah, because it is good news.
It is really good news. And you've been through so much.
Well, yeah, we are so thrilled. I think the point that I keep making to people is, we are so grateful. I think that's the best thing. That's what I would have wanted to hear from someone.
Yeah.
We are so grateful. We know how lucky we are. We will never, ever, ever take this for granted.
Yeah.
And, it is good news. I mean, comparatively, obviously, to some people, I've had it easy.
Yeah.
Even with a failed round. And mm-hmm. There's always going to be someone who's struggled more than you and always going to be someone who's struggled less than you. Mm. And yeah, striking that balance. And I got to say, if this news isn't for you at the moment, if this ep isn't for you, well, to be honest, they've already turned off, haven't they?
Well, I hope so. I really hope so. I hope so
for their sakes. Yeah. Then, you know, if it's not for you, look, there is nobody who gets it more than me. And I've said to some close friends as well who have their own journeys, that it's okay if you're finding it hard. I mean, it's different when it's people close to you and it's friends who want to be there for you. But I'm like, if you just can't, you can't. And I give you full permission to do whatever you need to do. Like if anybody gets it, it's me, because I've been on the receiving end so many times of that text of the just wanting to let you know, da da da, like the sensitive infertility text that we get when someone's pregnant.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm sending the text, which is very, very strange.
Did that feel, because that's quite an interesting thing to think about, sending that text as opposed to receiving it, because sending that text for me, I was really like, I did, like, obviously you want to be on this side of the fence. Yeah. Of course, it's very different to receiving it. It's still quite hard to send, very hard to send that text, isn't it?
You just know the impact it's going to have on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there so many times. Yeah, I've received that text and I've been, and it's no, again, it's nothing personal to my friends. I've been sobbing and shaking.
Yeah.
That's no exaggeration.
Not just that, but seeing it on like Facebook or Instagram.
Oh yeah, I think that's worse. Mm. But yeah, but you know, like I do think it's given me a bit of insight, having received so many, of what is good to hear, what's not. Mm. But you know, it's fine if this news isn't for you at the moment. And look, we are feeling so lucky. Mm. I was saying to Sean, wasn't I? I do think that once you've been through a failed round, it does become something else.
Mm.
And it does set you apart a little bit, because like to you, IVF, I don't know, it must be a very different that you've never experienced it not working, and thank God you haven't. And I think when you've experienced that, your eyes are opened a little bit more. It unlocks another level, I think, of IVF.
Mm.
So you know, and that's me just having had one failed round. I mean,
there's a lot of people who have gone through, obviously, such a lot and will probably be listening. Like we said, there's always going to be someone who's struggled more and less. More. And
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But, you know, there is always a struggle in everything, and they're valid, you know, all of them.
Yeah, you know, we just know how lucky we are to have received a positive and to have seen two pink lines, and I could not imagine it before, and I never thought the day would come, you know? Like,
well, it's here. It is here.
Oh, it's bloody here, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been very restricted. Well, I did four tests on test day. Anyone who's not in an infertility space has been like, bloody hell, you went big on the test. And I'm like, no, not really.
Didn't we hear someone? I'm
really restrained.
There's like someone, didn't we hear someone say that they did 30 and one? Who said that? There was some, we've heard someone
can't
say
remember.
That.
Remember. Yeah, 30
in one day. That's a lot
it's
of money.
Expensive.
Yeah.
But I was doing a test each day in the morning to be like, okay, today I'm pregnant. Great, move on. But then I was like, gosh, even doing those tests once a day, it wasn't really very good for my overall health and anxiety, because I was up at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. taking a test, obviously heart's in my mouth, shaking, like, is it going to say positive today? So I did a few mornings like that, but I realised it was maybe a bit of a short-term solution and a bit of a, you know, a bit of a sticking plaster. Mm. Yeah, because at 5 p.m. I'd start getting nervous for the next day's test, you know?
Well, I was getting ready to get a test at 4 a.m. I was going ready well, for...
literally, I would take the test, send a picture to Char and also Emma the embryologist. I was like, I've got to stop texting Emma at 4 a.m. being like, hi, look at my tests. But I would send it to Char and she'd text back, you are pregnant. And I'd be like, thank you, good to hear it. But I've been very restrained since Monday. It's Thursday today. Since Monday, I hadn't done a test, and then I caved.
Until this... before the pod.
Yeah, I was like, I just want to make sure. So I did two more just before we came on. And I was on the phone to Carl, and he was like, why? Why are you doing these tests? Why? And I said, well, because I've been so good in not doing any. I thought I'd treat myself. And he's like, oh, yeah, like an alcoholic going, well, I've been sober for a week, so have a bottle of wine. Like, literally, that's what it feels like. But,
I mean, you've shown a lot more restraint than me because I tested every morning.
I do just think it might not be the best thing overall for the old anxiety, which we'll come to.
Anxiety.
So we put a pin in that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the
it
reason
exists,
that we haven't.
Though.
Mate, I didn't believe you. Yeah. We're gonna come to that.
Yeah.
I thought she was lying. Anyway, we haven't said anything online yet, and I know people have been like, you've been quiet, what's going on? And it was just because we couldn't find a time together to do an ep, and we did want to do an ep for a bit of context and a bit of like info before we just like, I didn't want to just say it in a post or a story or anything, you know.
And also it's something that, you know, I hope people listen and go, well, you know, there's hope here, you know, and it's
I
nice
hope
to
for
hear
some people yeah.
And that they like, can hear it and go, do you know what? That's, you know, I'm about to do a transfer or I'm about to, and this is what could happen.
Yeah, and just because it hasn't worked once doesn't mean it won't happen again, that sort of thing.
Or even multiple times. Well, this could
exactly.
be it, you know?
Exactly. Mm. What if it all goes right? Leads me on to, because now obviously... like you take the test and look, I was like, Sian, just be happy you got a bloody positive test. And I do still think
there is
being
something
on the
in
other
that.
Side there is something in that. And like, you know, I had a couple of people in our DMs that I've, you know, become quite close to, and one of the girls was messaging just saying, but you got a positive. And I have to admit that that is just amazing. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Before, all I wanted, and still, all I wanted to see was two lines. And, you know, you just want to get those two lines. But then it does sink in a little bit. And turns out there is a bit of anxiety on this side. I just feel like at the moment, it's a bit of a cruel trick. It could be a cruel trick. And
it's
someone's going to go... haha, not really.
No.
Like, it feels very surreal and like it's not happening to me. And I feel like at the moment I need more proof. So I've been desperate for symptoms. I haven't had many. I've felt a bit tired and stuff. But, you know, we're early days. We're only 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I've been... and Carl's like, why do you want to be throwing up? That's crazy. And I'm like, well, I just want to... I want to feel stuff. I think that's why I did the test today, to be honest. I was like, I just want to see...
Yeah.
I just want to see it again. And I think it can feel like we're primed for bad news, right? So why can't we just be like normal people that just do a test and then wait till 12 weeks for a scan?
How? How do people mental? Do that?
And they're fine about it, you
or
know? Like
people who... don't even do a pregnancy test and they somehow realize that they're pregnant, like way down the line.
Oh my God, I know. And also you can really tell, I mean, all of our friends have been so lovely, but there's been a few friends that I can just tell that they haven't struggled themselves. Like I have one friend say, oh well, you know, enjoy it because it's never quite the same for your second. I'm like, bloody hell. Oh. I'm like, mate. Yeah. Like one is not a guarantee. One is never a guarantee. Yeah. Like don't talk to me about my second, please.
Yeah.
And like, and some people just the chat is just really different amongst people. But like for people like us, it's never going to be just like, you know, take a test. Oh, great. See you in 9 months sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Like, Yeah. Well, we know it's a thing because of all, there are support groups, aren't there?
Yeah, so I'm quite good at rationalising the anxiety at the moment and managing it. Like, it's manageable for me. I had a therapy session today and she was like, like, as long as it doesn't tip you over the edge and, like, it doesn't take over and you can't function and stuff. And I said, no, actually, in the day-to-day, touch wood, nothing untoward. There's no signs, there's nothing to suggest it's not going to go well, you know? And I just got to remind myself of that. And, you know, it's more, I know the stats are a funny thing because
I know
so many people find themselves on the wrong side of the stats. But hey, it helps me right now to go, it is more likely to go well than go wrong. So if that helps anyone else in a similar situation, you know, we just got to take each day at a time. And also, we would never... I don't think we would, even if the worst were to happen, heaven forbid, like, you know, really hope it doesn't.
Sorry, can we all touch wood right now when you say that?
Yeah, thank you. Knock your head.
Yeah.
We will never regret having this moment and celebrating it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just got to take each day as it comes. Carla's very good at keeping me on the straight and narrow, keeping me in check, being like, come on. And yeah, like, it's manageable at the moment.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I remember, I can't remember who I was talking to, but they were like, oh my God, like, why would you ever tell people before 12 weeks? And I get it. I do get that because actually, you know, that is, I guess, the time that, you know, there is higher risk, I suppose. But yeah. I agree with you. I think what's good about being able to tell people is that you go, he, she existed.
Yeah, well, you know? Yeah, hopefully will exist even further and further
Yeah.
But, you know, like, my parents have never been grandparents before and they did a little happy dance in the kitchen.
Aww.
Like, when we got them on FaceTime, all of that, you know. Like, look, yeah, we'll never regret having the moment.
Exactly.
So,
how are you feeling? Because you've obviously experienced you've got two experiences of taking a test and do you feel like this one... kind of, I don't know if this is the right wording, but do you feel like it kind of imprints over, so you've got like this new memory, or do you feel like they both exist side by side? Like, how do you...
It's really weird because like one I would love to forget and one I'll never forget, although both I'll never forget obviously, but so different. Well, we weren't on the bathroom floor, which was good because we were like, we're never doing that again. So we were in the bedroom, sitting in the bed, which is comfier.
Change of location.
But I think it, you know, I don't know, I feel like it does remedy it a bit, but the, you know what, God, I can't even think about it. That, like, you know, there's a lot of... I'm fine, but there's a lot of stuff to unpack here. And it's just... I don't know if I've said this already, but, like, between the months of January to March, I think there was so much concentrated in that that, like, it'll never take it away. I'll always think of the first embryo and everything. But I am glad that this one gets to stick around, you know?
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
I would say, I think it's important to say that, because we saw each other on Sunday, didn't we, Sian? We went to the fertility show together. And it was the first time I'd seen you, partly like for logistics, because we record this podcast remotely and I see you every day. I talk to you every day, obviously, with the voice notes. And it's the first time I've seen you in person and it's the first time I've really felt able to see you in person. And yeah, it just made me think, wow, God, this has all been so, you know, we've been fine. We made it through, but it's so tough on a friendship, hasn't it? What's it been like for you?
It's been hard. So I just feel like it was really hard seeing you going through the worst time of your life and at the same time I'm going through essentially the best time of mine. And it's really weird because it's like bittersweet, isn't it?
And the two have to exist side by side somehow. And it's on, and I know that, you know, my friends who are still struggling, this will be them now. It's on the person who's still struggling to be okay with it.
But which is, it's okay really to hard. Not be okay with it.
Yeah, but it is. And that's why I give people full permission. And I've said to people, anyone who's messaged me and asked on the Instagram, I've told them, it's not a secret. And I've always said, this may well be hard to read. I'm sorry if this is hard to read, but with some friends, I know it is. Mm. And so I've said, if this is hard, that's okay. You're allowed to find it hard. You're allowed to take a break. You're allowed. And I prefer it when my friends are honest with their feelings, you know, and when friends are kind of, you know, through the, I'm happy for you, which is really kind and lovely. Then they go, yeah, but it is quite hard. I'm like, oh, yes, thank you. Thank you for being real with your feelings and being honest with me. And yeah, we get told so much, you can be happy for them and sad for you. But like, what if you're not happy for them?
Yeah.
And sometimes you're not. Sometimes, of course, you want to be, but sometimes your own sadness is just too prominent and it's too heavy. So you've got no space for the happy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I just want everyone to know, if anyone gets that, I get that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because it is weird being...
Do you find now that now you've been... Now you're on this side, because I'd be interested to hear what you think. Because I think, like, sometimes it's really... Because you understand, like, the other person is upset and totally understand that. But sometimes, like, it's so hard to sometimes be like, it's not personal. Do you know what I mean? To be 100%. Like, it's not, sometimes it's like...
not about me.
Yeah, sometimes I remember being like, I don't know if, you know, anyone said anything, or, you know, I'd be quite upset, but then I'd say, be...
I think I threw a lot of crap at you. And, you know, I'm really sorry, because I probably was spiky and I probably at times said things that maybe, if I'm being honest, that I knew might hurt a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you can't help but just like
put in the knife a little bit,
twist the knife a little bit. And again, it's not about you.
No.
And that's really good of you to say that, you know, you recognize that. But I've got to say, yeah, I completely understand where that's coming. And I think it does give me, if I'm, you know, I mean, I everyone's been so lovely, but if you do get a little bit, every now and again you get a little comment that's like, oh, okay, but you have to go, it's not you. And also you have to go, shut up, you're in a good position here.
So that's the thing, the mantra that I used to have. If there was ever something that upset me, I would go, okay, I feel a bit upset, but come on now. You know, look where you are. Look where they are. Uh-huh. And you've got to be able to just be a little bit thick-skinned about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do, I feel like when you get to this side, you do have a lot of conflicting feelings about, gosh, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have, you know, I was mean about this person's baby shower, or
I know.
I mean, I have to say, I will never have a baby shower. I don't want one.
No, I don't want one either.
No, not
I actually
me.
Had someone message me and say, so when's the baby shower? And I was like, never.
Which you can look, and some people go the other way after IVF and they go, you know what, that was bloody hard, I'm gonna celebrate. And that's just as valid too. For me, I don't think I would ever be able to have one, knowing just how confronting they can be. But, you know, I've got all those thoughts of like, oh gosh, like, I wasn't always the nicest to people, maybe.
But I wasn't
always my best self.
I wasn't either. But I do think that you have to give yourself a bit of grace, just like you would give other people grace, and you give yourself compassion. And the good thing, the weird thing is, when you're in this place, I always feel like it's a like a black cloud dissipates, and you feel,
oh my God,
and you suddenly start to feel a bit more like yourself. And look, I don't think, Catherine, you're gonna, like, you're obviously in like such a great place and it's wonderful, but I think it will still take you a lot of time to go to reintegrate into the world.
Well,
you know,
I did say that to you, didn't I? I said, I feel like I'm coming back to life.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm re-entering the world again.
Oh, it's gonna get me a little bit upset.
Oh, sorry. Oh gosh, this is meant to be the happy episode.
We might have to bloody re-record it.
not again. Yeah, I said, and I hope that this doesn't come across the wrong way to anybody, but maybe if it does, just take this as to knowing how grateful I am. Mm. And I will never ever take this for granted.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I feel like I'm rejoining the world. I've been in like a dark hole for so long.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to cry. But it's just, you know, there's a lot of feelings, but yeah, I think the main one is grateful.
Yeah.
I've got really bad hay fever as well, so I'm even more like, I'm so snotty now.
You're going to be like, I'm not going to take anything for anything, just so you know.
Oh, no. Nuh-uh. Paracetamol, no. Get in the bin. I mean, I'm sure that these things are fine, but oh, my God. Like, also, walked downstairs first morning, and I went to switch the coffee machine on, and I was like, I'm really scared of having a coffee.
Yeah.
Well, these things that are not going to make a difference, but you get in your head about it.
You do. You do.
Anyway.
That's, but those, I think, are things that are going to follow you, you know?
Yeah.
They are going to follow you for a little while, and it's going to haunt you for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and it's the things that still tie you to IVF, you know? Yeah. Like.
But also, I don't know about you, but I never want to, like, and I know my journey was very different, you know, and I get that. I know our, like, struggle, our majority of our struggle was natural TTC.
And it was a struggle, Sean.
It was.
You had a long time.
But I think, like, isn't it so, it's so weird to just think, actually, I never want to, like, tell people that my child has hopefully, you know, touch wood, but like that has I'm always going to say IVF, like I'm always going to remember that.
You never really want to forget it.
No,
in a weird way, you know, there are some bits that I'd like to forget, but
of course,
but it's a part of you, you know. It's part of your story.
So right, everyone's gonna listen and go, well, fuck you all. Sorry, I've sworn.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah, right, that's it. I'm done. I don't want to listen to these two go on about their bloody pregnancies.
Pregnant. Well, the good news is, guys, we ain't gonna do that. Well, you know, like, if you feel like you can't continue on with us, that's fine. But you gotta know that we talk about it once. This is the point of this ep. We talk about it once and then we move on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't become a pregnancy podcast. And some people have said to me now, because I used to get a bit like narky when people were like, Erin, how's Sean? Can we talk about Sean? I'm like, no, we can't, because I'm not pregnant. So like, again, it's not personal, Sean.
No, but, it's fine.
But now people are asking me, they're like, and now can we talk about pregnancy after IVF? And I'm like, still no, guys, still no, because... Yeah. We always set out for this to be an infertility podcast, and we always said that we can't isolate so many people that still need the help.
Yeah.
There's still too many people in, like, without a lifeboat, you know?
Completely. And, you know, okay, me and Catherine have been, you know, helping each other, guiding each other through, but we hope that we are a beacon of light for other people who are still...
We can guide you through.
Yeah, we can guide you through. And we never did this, and I think you actually said this in our other recording, I think it's so bloody true, but it isn't self-serving. Like, this is...
No, it's never been about us.
No.
And it's been about our journeys, but it's never been about... Like, oh, let's do a podcast so everyone can follow us. And no, it's been about maybe this can show other people or connect with other people. And we have done that. Mm. And you know what? As long as it's helpful, we'll continue to do that. And if it's not helpful, we'll stop. But I feel personally like there's more work to be done and we're not done yet.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot more. And I think from here in, really, we really want to hear from other people and hear their stories.
It becomes about other voices and everybody else. And we've already got a few little lines in the fire that we're kind of, you know, we want to follow other people going through it in real time. We want to hear from people that we can't represent, who have different stories to us. We want to speak to more experts, more guests, more information, more reassurance, more, we still want it to be a safe space. And that is also why as well, you know, because some people said, oh, why, you know, can you, I think it is the minority of people, to be fair, but they said, well, why not just put trigger warnings? And I'm like, do we really want it to be laced with trigger mm-hmm. warnings, and that any minute someone could be like, oh, gotta skip, or no, like we're not gonna do that. So yeah, it's not about us. We move on. We might do a bonus ep a little bit later down the line.
And obviously,
I hate to say it, touch wood, please no. But like, if anything goes wrong,
you'll hear it.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
yeah. So assume that we're absolutely fine. We still feel like there's more help to be, like, done, really.
Yeah.
To be had.
And also, we're very aware of our privilege. You know, we're white middle class women in heterosexual relationships,
having NHS treatment, under 40,
I mean, the list goes on. But there'll be other people listening who will be like, well, I'm over 40, I'm on my own, you know,
same-sex relationships, right? So, you know, let's diversify it, and it, I think it can only be an exciting thing, really.
Also,
yeah, so I hope
we need Dr. Brooker to come on.
Oh my god. Okay, this is a call out. Mr. B, Dr. B, if you're listening, then we want you. We want you.
We want you. We need you. It's like that World Everyone War poster. So much.
Maybe we can try and get Dr. Cougar as
Here we go.
No, we can't say that, because Carl is now catching up on the podcast.
Oh, okay. We could always edit that if you like.
We can edit that out. Yeah. Carl, you're still the most handsome man in the world. Don't worry. But we think Dr. Cougar is lovely.
He is, yeah.
We will continue, but it will be different voices, and we're always still here, guys, you know. Yeah.
And my God, by the way, there are so many, there's like a multitude of different things that come up all the time. I don't know whether this is for now, but, you know, even today, right, I had a HR meeting, okay? I'm going to tell you this.
Right.
Because I think this is, I was just like, what the actual, you know, pejesus. And I said, just so you know, I just said, in future, just make sure, I think it really is going helpful to just make sure that if, you know, you send an email and you're saying you're going through IVF or having fertility treatment in some way, might be good to get like a response and acknowledgement.
So when you emailed HR or like your team to say that you were going through IVF, you didn't get a response?
Nothing.
That is shocking.
Isn't
it? You didn't get a reply?
Nothing.
That is shocking.
So I brought it up today. And look, things get missed. I get it. Everyone's busy. I brought it up today. And said person, I cannot believe they said this, guys. Honestly, brace yourself. Said, you're right. We should do that. We should at least send a congratulatory email.
Nope. Wrong again.
I was like, ooh, maybe don't do that.
Oh, actually, don't say congratulations on the IVF. I think we need to run a course. But there are brilliant people out there who talk about fertility at work and all of this stuff. Yeah, there's a lot more to be untapped here.
There is a lot.
Tapped into.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Oh, I'm just so glad that you're here, Catherine.
Oh,
I was really scared if you weren't going to make it here, like this round. Yeah, I'm sure you were. I was really worried about you.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been incredibly tough. I mean, we've done it before and we would have been all right, you know, but like, thank God that, thank goodness. We're just, again, so grateful. I'd love to feel some symptoms soon, but that's just for a bit more proof. I just want to know it's really happening, you know. But, cannot complain right now.
No.
Can't complain.
Imagine there was, like, some sort of, like, kaleidoscope thing that might come into action one day.
And kaleidoscope?
You can look through or something.
Oh, yeah. A kaleidoscope is the thing with the little shapes.
Oh, with the colours.
In the end. Colours, yeah.
Except you wouldn't see colours.
You would see your womb.
Exactly.
Like, imagine if we just all had, like, x-ray vision and you could just see straight through and you could be like, meh. Yeah, all good.
That would be great. That would be great. Cool.
We'll just invent that, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Aww. Anyway, guys, shall we sort of leave it there for now?
Yeah.
Have we said everything?
I think so, really. Maybe just a call out. If anybody's there, we'd love to hear from you.
If you want to share your story with us, then drop us a message. You can message us on Instagram at
IVFBFFpod.
I love the voice that you do for that.
Oh, really?
IVF. BF. It's very like, have you seen in Friends when Rachel goes for the massage? Through the glass doors. It's like
do you,
that.
Do you know what? Yeah. That was my perform voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like when we phone. Used to work. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very call center.
Yeah, that's what I used to do.
So,
Andrew you can used to laugh us. At me. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh. you can message us on Insta and follow us and everything, or you can email us at
ivfbffpod@gmail.co.uk.
No, .com.
Oh, no.
You ruined it. You're fired.
Yeah, I'm done for.
Get rid of her, guys. Need a new co-host. Anyway. Yeah, sending big love. And again, if this news has landed weird for you, I'm sending you an extra big squeeze. And
just
sending huge love to everybody, really.
Yeah, massive. We love you and we want babies for everyone.
Babies for everyone. You get a baby. Yeah, guys, big love and keep in touch and we'll be back soon.